If the Lord will enable me, I would draw your attention to the 111th Psalm, the second verse. Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You notice that the word works is in the plural. And there are so many works of the Lord, and they're far too numerous for me to mention or go into. But there is, if you look at our 88th hymn, it is put in beautiful language there. One strange work exceeds them all, and that is the work of redemption. If we looked at the work of creation, it is beautiful, and all the works since the creation, I mean concerning this world, they're wonderful and great, but they're all marred. Creation is marred, and everything under the sun is marred by sin, by fallen humanity in his lost, ruined state. In some way or other, everything is marred and spoiled, and it will be so. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Thou hast ruined wretched man. Ever since the world began, thou hast God afflicted too. Nothing less than this would do. Well, now, the great thing that concerns you and I are the works of God in an experimental way in your soul and mine. We're all passing through this time state to a never-ending eternity. Sooner or later, the place that knows us now will know us no more forever. And therefore, it is imperative, necessary. Oh, may the Holy Ghost make it so that we seek to know where we are on the way to. Whether we are on the way to a never-ending hell because of our sins, and that is what we justly deserve, or whether through the mercy and grace of a covenant God we are on the way to a blissful heaven under his smile forever. Well, now, let us look at these things personally as a help by the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need him. The works of the Lord are great. This great work of the Lord. If you go back in your Bible to the creation, and when God created man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He didn't do this with any other of the creation, only man. And man became a living soul. And that soul is separate from the body. It lives in it. It animates it. But It is everlasting, immortal. It will never pass out of existence. And though by reason of sin, our first parents forfeited forever in nature by their sin and disobedience of God's command in the Garden of Eden. And by that sin, they forever lost all communion with God. But the Lord didn't leave them there. No, no. Oh, what a wonderful mercy. He spoke to them the first promise regarding redemption from the fall. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is that that redemption was as it were, fixed and sure in the mind of the eternal God even before Adam fell, or before sin entered into the world. There was provision made in the eternal three in a covenant of grace against the ruin of the fall for his own people, a people that he would choose out of Adam's lost, ruined race. Ah, he would bless them with his love, the love of the whole Trinity, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Ghost. It would ever be upon them. He wrote their names in his book. The Father gave them to his eternal Son in that covenant. And the Holy Ghost was there. His love is upon them, just the same as the Father's and the Son's. But after sin entered into the world, we read, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. And though these people's names are in heaven, and they are under the love of a covenant-keeping God, yet we come into this world, the Scripture designates us as dead in trespasses and in sins. And all communion with that God was shut out by the sin of Adam. But God there promised redemption. He spoke to Satan, who brought about their fall. The seed of the woman, this woman thou hast beguiled, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in due time it was brought to pass. The eternal Son in this great work, oh, what a great work was needed to redeem this people from their sins. And this is the work that Hart refers to in his beautiful hymn, this one strange work that exceeds every other work. We may look upon the creation of God, we may look upon the earth and its fruitfulness, we may look upon the rolling sea, we may look at the stars and the moon at night and the sun during the day, but they all sink into insignificance under this work, this great work of God in the redemption of his elect. Oh, what an infinite mercy it is to feel that and to know it in your heart by divine teaching. Well, now as we come into this world, the world is the greatest thing to us, and self. This self that we bring with us into the world, it's our God. We worship it, we serve it with all the power that we have. Oh, yes. And that we should do till our dying day, if grace does not stop us. Well, now, let us look at this great work. For the works of the Lord are great, and they are sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Has the Holy Ghost ever given you pleasure in seeking out this work of redemption for yourself? You may know it in a general way. You may have been brought up to know it. You may believe it in a general way. And it is good if you do. I would not condemn that for a moment. But if you never have anything more than that, it will never save you. No, no. Oh, it is a wonderful mercy if the Holy Ghost has given you pleasure in searching out, seeking out, to know if this greatest work of God in the salvation of his people, if it was for you personally. It wasn't for everybody, you know. No, no, no. What a solemn thing. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And it is so. Does he not say in his word, figuratively, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? And in the world today, and has been ever since time began, ever since the Lord in mercy created man, there has been a people that have, by grace in their heart, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, have sought out these great works of the Lord. It is an infinite favor, you know, to us, if this work of Christ, the eternal Son of God, in redeeming his people, if it is made to you and me, in our very soul's feelings, the greatest work, the most important work to ourselves. We may, as it were, look at God's other works, and we may value them as we should, but has the Holy Ghost ever come into your heart and mine? Has he ever convinced us of our need, our deep need of this work, this great work? And that if we pass through this life and we have never sought it out, and it has never sought us out, oh, what a solemn ending we shall have. What a mercy it is if the Holy Ghost, I repeat, makes this thing the most important thing in your life and mine, to seek out this. Well, it is only the Holy Ghost that can do this. By nature, we should never seek it out. We might seek out many works, and we might value them, and we might even bless a God in creation for them, and a God of providence for them. But we should never search out this work, this great work, for ourselves, unless and until the Holy Ghost brings about within us that new birth which Christ spoke of to Nicodemus, which he said was so essential that without it we cannot even see the kingdom of God. But oh, what a mercy it is to be blessed with that new birth, that new creation within. And the Holy Ghost will bring this about in all his people, sooner or later in their life. He is God, the Holy Ghost. It is his blessed work to do this in the hearts of his elect. But he is a sovereign, you know, in all his works and ways. This is a great work. It is indeed. For it is a bringing of life into the dead soul. It is a quickening of that dead soul. And as he does this wonderful work within, This will cause us to seek out greater works. It will indeed, personally for yourself. Oh, what a mercy it is to be wrought upon by the Holy Ghost. And usually his first work within is to convince of sin, as Christ said he would. When he didn't say when it, he said when he, that is the third glorious person in the Trinity, God the Holy Ghost, when he shall come, he shall convince of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Oh, and he does, you know. And this, and only this, as he does it in the hearts of his sinful people, quickening their souls, either bringing this about in a gentle way, or in a more sudden, shall we say, more forcible way. But in every case, in whatsoever way he chooses and whatever means he uses, sometimes he uses the preaching of the gospel, sometimes he uses private means, sometimes he does it without means at all. He can come into the sinner's heart and he can convince him of his sin, and he can bring about this new birth within him. But what a difference it makes where he does this work. It is called in the Psalms his strange work. And so it is. He mercifully enlightens the sinner. He gives him to see and feel that he is a sinner. He makes him to know something of the holiness of God. He gives him faith in his heart. It is in this new heart. He believes now that there is a God. You know, I tried for years to believe there was no God. Oh, I say it to my shame. I tried my utmost to be an atheist in the world, but I never really succeeded, and I bless God I didn't. But, oh, when the Holy Ghost in infinite mercy begins this work in the heart, they're brought to realize that one day they will stand before that Holy God in judgment, and that they will receive of him the things done in their body, whether they be good or bad. And they are convinced that all that they have done and can do is bad. That is in the sight of this holy, holy God, who cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Oh, he will make them know that the very thought of foolishness is sin in his sight. He may not bring his law verbally into your heart. He doesn't seem to do so in these days. But in every case, he makes the sinner know he is a sinner. And he brings him, through that knowledge, to seek for salvation. Oh, he wants a remedy. He wants a remedy against eternity. He is given to see that he has, as we said, an immortal soul, that soul will stand before God in the judgment day. It will make him tremble sometimes, and it will bring prayer out of his heart, out of that new heart. The new covenant blessing is, I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh. That heart that we have by nature, it can feel nothing. It is as hard as a stone regarding eternal things. But he gives a new heart, a heart of flesh, which begins to feel eternal matters. And what a difference this makes. Oh, eternity, eternity, where shall I spend eternity, becomes the feeling within. I'm a sinner. And you'll pray the prayer of the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's not somebody else's sins and faults, it's your own before God. And this work is secret in the heart. Ah, but it will cause many a sigh and many a groan before God. You will want to know concerning eternity. You will want salvation. And the Holy Ghost goes on in this work. He teaches non-teachers like him. I repeat, he may use means, he may use the preaching, he may use your private reading, he may bless you at a throne of grace seeking mercy. But in every case, he illuminates, enlightens, teaches as none can teach, and he shows the soul in time that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father, a holy, holy God, except through Christ. But how can this be? Ah, this blessed eternal Son of God, eternal in an eternal generation, not a son by office or any such thing as that, nor just by his incarnation, God forbid, but the eternal Son of God from everlasting with the Father. And in due time, according to the covenant of grace, he came into this sinful world. As I said, these people were given to him in the covenant of grace to redeem. They were given to him to be his spouse, ultimately his bride in a glorious heaven. And the Holy Ghost turns their mind to this blessed person, Christ. He begins to make him their all in all for salvation. He begins to show them something of the beauty, the loveliness, the preciousness of this person. But it is all in the want of him, the longing after him. And perhaps it may be a long, long time that they're seeking him, longing after him, wanting him. But during this time, they'll use all the means available to them. Oh, they won't miss services in the chapel if they can help it. And they won't miss the prayer meeting. And they won't miss reading God's word. And they won't be found missing seeking him in prayer. Oh, eternity is so solemn to them. Oh, eternity and the salvation of their soul. There are times in their soul's feelings, not all the time, but there are times when this is so important. Oh, that they can't leave it alone. And prayer and sighs and groans will go up out of their heart. There'll often be the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. The falling of a tear sometimes. And sometimes the Lord will bless them with repentance. What a blessed, sweet gift repentance is. And we are told without repentance, there's no salvation. Well, what is this repentance then? It is another of the works of God. These experimental works that he works in a sinner's heart. Ah, there will be times when he gives him a soft heart. He melts that obdurate, hard heart that they feel. And sometimes he melts it to tears before him in confession of their sins. Oh, it's sweet work is that, you know. Do you know it? Have you ever felt it? When the Holy Ghost has softened your hard heart and you have wept inwardly, if not outwardly, you have wept, as it were, before God because of your wretched sins. And you have said, "Oh Lord, show me thy mercy. Bless me with salvation. Oh, come into my heart, blessed Jesus. Reveal thy love to me. Oh, how I long for it." And he will be made precious to the soul. But in this repentance, what a blessed gift it is. And you will find and prove that you can't make it yourself. Oh, there will be times when your heart feels as hard as iron, and you can't melt it, and you couldn't force a tear of repentance if they'd offer you the world. No, yet there are other times when in the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost, he softens your heart, he gives you repentance. Oh, it is the gift of God. And you'll prove it is, but how sweet to know it. And we are taught in the Gospels by Christ himself that there's joy. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What a mercy it is if you and I have caused joy in heaven. If we have been blessed with this gift of repentance and we have confessed. Aye, if there's repentance, there's a pouring out. Oh, you don't hold any sin back then. No, no. You pour out openly all your sins, all your guilt. You lay it open before him and you say, "Lord, I am a sinner. Oh, there's nothing good in me at all." And you learn this more and more as you go along, but in these early days I'm speaking of, can you trace out anything of these things in your heart? Have you any evidence that you have had this repentance and that the Lord has mercifully dealt with you in this life, that he's not left you altogether in your nature? He's not left you altogether to be dead in trespasses and in sins, that self is not altogether your God now, and the world is not altogether your home? It's a mercy if it is so. Oh, it is indeed. But let us go a bit further. What a blessed day it is if the Holy Ghost reveals to you this great work of salvation in the revelation of the person of Christ to your soul. Ah, he will give you to see something of how he became incarnate, how he took into everlasting union with his divine person, the Son of God, humanity. Why? So that in that humanity he could be born made of a woman, made under the law. Have you ever realized that you were under the law? That you were born under a law? And being born under that law, oh, being born under it, you're liable to keep it. And if you do not keep it, then condemnation is yours. But in these natures that we inherited through the fall, we have no capability whatever of keeping that law. No, no, not one command of it that is to the satisfaction of a holy God. No. But oh, this blessed Christ, he didn't come into this world with a fallen nature like you and I have. No, no. The Holy Ghost, in overshadowing the Virgin, brought forth this humanity, pure, holy, holy. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is. What a great work this is. Have you ever sought it out? Ever looked into it with a feeling of personal interest in it? Have you ever said, oh, didst thou come into this world of sin and iniquity, taking into everlasting union with thy divine person, my nature, but no sin in it, to redeem me? And didst thou come and bear all that thou didst bear in that sacred, holy humanity, as thou didst tread this sinful wilderness, with all the thorns and briars it had for thee, the opposition of men and devils against thee, the hatred, at last crucifixion? Didst thou come to suffer, bleed and die in this world, in that humanity? Didst thou come to fulfill every precept in that holy law which condemns me? Didst thou work out that perfect righteousness to form a wedding robe for me? Ah, these are things that you'll search out. You will search out. It will be in your heart by the Holy Ghost. They're blessed things, and at times they'll come up in your heart. Didst thou do all this for me, a poor, wretched, sinful being like me, a worm of the earth, not deserving the least of thy favor? Oh, wonderful grace, wonderful love and mercy, if thou didst. And sometimes you feel, oh, if thou wilt make that manifest to me, I should be the happiest person under the sun. And so you will, if he does, while it's there. Some of us have been blessed with it. I hope over 60 years ago now, in my early 20s, after being brought down as a poor, wretched, lost sin out of the world and its pleasures and vanities, the Lord in his infinite mercy favored me. I looked for hell, but he gave me heaven. When he revealed himself to my soul after much seeking, in that blessed vision of Christ that I saw, I shall never forget it. What a mark it made in my life. And I can't forget it. No, no. And he spoke to me and said, where I am, there shall my servant be. And my heart was filled with a peace that I could never understand, never describe. That evening I tried to look back to the awful feelings I'd had before, but I couldn't bring them back. Heaven was in my soul. Oh, that blessed Christ, how precious he was, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. I worshipped him in the beauty of holiness, and that peace in my case lasted months and months. Oh, how blessed. I'm not ashamed to speak of these things. I find in the Acts, the apostle often referred to what the Lord had done in his soul. And a man in a pulpit, if he can't tell you what the Lord has done for his own soul, well, he's no right in a pulpit. He should be able to tell you something of what the Lord has done for him. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits of the gospel. Well, now, if he brings you to a day like that, oh, what a great day. What a great work. To you it will seem the greatest work that ever was, when he comes into your soul and, as it were, says, I am thy salvation. Heaven will be yours at last through my sufferings, through my righteousness, and through my death, through my resurrection, through my ascension into heaven, through my work even in heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for his people, where he is their great high priest, where he, having passed through all the troubles and trials he did in this world, he is in heaven in that holy humanity. Oh, blessed, faithful, merciful, compassionate, loving high priest for his people. And sometimes the Holy Ghost gives them faith to believe it and feel it and draws them to him in their troubles and trials here. But oh, what a mercy. The works of the Lord are great, great. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Have we any pleasure in these things? Do they really, can you honestly say before God that they give you the greatest pleasure? That you have a greater pleasure in these than in anything in this world? And you know we value the things of this world. We've got a covetous heart that's as vile as anybody's. But oh, we know this, that there have been times in our soul's experience when they could have laid the wealth of the universe at our feet and said, which will you have, this or Christ? And we would have said without hesitation, give me Christ, give me Christ. All this will pass away. It will go, and you will go from this earth. Ah, but if you have this great work, and you have been by the Holy Ghost, have found pleasure in it, sought it out, ah, what a mercy. That will never pass away. No, no, no. The works of nature will all pass away. Oh, they're passing away in the using of them, aren't they? But this will never pass away. No. Oh, what a mercy. If Christ is formed in your heart, the hope of glory, and mine too, it will never, never be obliterated. No, no. All the storms, all the tribulations, all the temptations, and you'll have some. It is a path of tribulation for God's people in this world. It is to loosen them from this world, in one sense. But, it is to make them sick of self, sick of this world, but more fond of Christ. Oh, sometimes to see a beauty and a loveliness in him that is so attractive. And oh, how one longs to feel that sweet peace, that rest that he alone can give. And you know, if you're one of these characters I've been trying to set forth feebly, oh, you'll need rest. The devil will be at you at times. He'll harass you and perplex you, and you can't always tell whether it's him or whether it's yourself. And you'll find you have a heart full of iniquity and sin. As we sung in that beautiful hymn, you'll find your heart is a sink of sin, every evil. Ah, it is. If you look at the literal figure, you pour down your sink, everything that's evil and abominable, out of your sight. You don't want it. But what about your own heart? Have you ever found it to be a sink of sin that's plugged and you can't get rid of the things you want to? How solemn. Ah, but sometimes they're subdued, sweetly subdued, and grace comes into exercise. Christ is made precious. You begin to search out and have pleasure in his work of redemption in your own heart, and what he is doing there. What a mercy. What a wonderful mercy. Well, it is a favor. Oh, it is a favor to know something of these things in your heart. I've only dwelt with regard to the soul's salvation in this matter because it is the most important. It's the first work. Oh, it is the greatest work under the sun. The life and the death of Christ, Emmanuel. Oh, it was the greatest, greatest work of a great God. We say it reverently. And the great work of God, the Holy Ghost, is to seek out these people. He knows whose names are in the book of life. He knows for whom Christ suffered, bled, and died. Ah, he knows all these people. You know he is God, equal with the Father and the Eternal Son. So I think in this day he is so slighted, and so little is really said of him. How solemn it is. Is it any wonder that we're in the state that we're in, that the Holy Ghost is withdrawing from us in his power? Oh, how fair. Look at your empty pews here. Does it concern you? You know there were days when this place was full, and other places were too, and godly men preached the truth with power, and sinners were convinced. Saints were blessed in their soul. Christ was revealed. And they made blessed ends and went into heaven. Where are we now? Little, if any, power is with the truth preached, however soundly. The Holy Ghost is grieved. Well, he might be. You know, sometimes we hear him just mentioned, and he just seems as though he's but some sort of an influence from the Father or the Son. He is God, equal with the Father and the Eternal Son. In the great Godhead, he is to be worshipped as God. My dear friends, we have nothing. Nothing at all in salvation but by the Holy Ghost's revelation within. Oh, what a mercy. I remember, and perhaps you will, if you read John Kershaw's autobiography, you will find there that in those days of old, Mr. Gadsby was persecuted and hated because he wrote hymns to the Holy Ghost, worshipping him, and because he preached him as a person in the Trinity, and that we have nothing without his teaching. Men, even good ministers, mistakenly opposed him, but in the end they found he was right, and they never altered him. No. And I feel in this sad day he has been so slighted, and set at naught her that he's wounded, he's grieved. We read, don't we, grieve not the Holy Ghost. And he is grieved. We have the result of it. It's plain before our eyes. Not only here, but all over the country where our denomination exists. Oh, what a sad day it is. Oh, what a mercy it will be if the Lord in his wonderful mercy would pour upon us the Spirit of grace and supplication to pray for the return of the Holy Ghost to us in mercy, in power, in building up his church on earth. The works of the Lord are great. They're sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And this work will be sought out by you, the work of the Spirit. And where you can't see it and where you can't feel it, if it works right, it will cause you to seek it, to seek it. And what a mercy it is if we have pleasure therein and we're enabled to seek it until we find it. Well, here I must close. The time is gone. If the Lord will enable me, I'll continue with the subject this evening. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.
Praise the Lord.